front of his back and press him. The ruling of the Rules Committee is to confirm the ruling from the chair. The amendment is in order. We will take up discussion of the amendment. Senator Mocker.
Point of order, because I forget. Are we starting over on the amendment, or have I already spoken for my first time on the amendment?
As I recall the rule, this is the same issue we were discussing earlier, so yes, you have used one of your, you still have another one coming. Discussion on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 118. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. I do so because I believe the language of this amendment creates one offense, where the language of the bill creates two offenses. Yesterday, good senator from Sweetwater County had quoted here on the floor a footnote from the aggravated assault and battery statute, which was a case called Goodman versus State. And when she read that footnote, I thought to myself, well, that doesn't make any sense. So I started, I went back and I looked, because basically the argument, if you read that footnote, it sounds like we already have that kind of statute on the books. Well, in fact, we don't. So I had to go back to Goodman and find the case, and then with the good assistance of Dave Gruber, we were actually up in one of the old closets pulling out old statutes, trying to figure out what was the law in 1979, which was the date of the Goodman case. And what we found out was that in 1979, and this is a long, I ask for some leeway here, Mr. President, because it's a long way of affirming that in actuality what happened in 1979 is actually what we're doing here today in terms of two offenses. But in 1977, the statutes, we had a statute on the books that was as follows. Whoever unlawfully kills an unborn child or causes miscarriage, abortion, or premature expulsion of a fetus by assault or assault and battery willfully committed upon a pregnant woman, knowing her condition, is a felony and shall be imprisoned in the penitentiary not more than 14 years. That was the law that was on the books. However, in 1982, the legislature went through a recodification of Title VI, which is a criminal statute, and that statute is no longer on the books. For whatever reason, I cannot exactly tell you why that's no longer on the books. But if you go back to the Goodman case, what happened was, in that situation, with that statute, the court held that that there was not double jeopardy in that situation. The mother had been killed, and there was the separate crime of killing the unborn child, and this is what the court held. We hold that 6-4-107 and 6-4-507 are statutes which are separate and distinct and are intended to suppress different evils. The elements of the former are considerably different than the elements of the latter, and that's one of murder versus the statute that was on the books about killing an unborn child at that time. A defendant may be prosecuted for the act of killing an unborn child during assault and battery on a pregnant woman, and for assault and battery on a pregnant woman, or as here, for killing, without violating the rule against double jeopardy. What I'm telling you, I believe, is that Goodman is actually an affirmation of what this bill is trying to do. That the Supreme Court, dealing with the topic at that time, felt that given the situation that it was not double jeopardy, there were separate elements, there were separate crimes, and it upheld the situation at that time. I think by adding this amendment, you are taking it to one crime, whereas the bill is two crimes at this point in time, and I would urge you to veto the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I will respectfully disagree with my colleague and recognize I'm a non-lawyer arguing with a real lawyer. But, Mr. President, when you look at this amendment, and I think the analysis of the Goodman case is exactly on point and applies to the bill without this amendment and with this amendment. Because this amendment, when you read it carefully, and I think this surfaces some confusion here, Mr. President, this amendment does not change the element of the crime at all. It doesn't change lines 12, 13, and 14, with or without the amendment. The elements of the crime are you have to willfully kill any pregnant woman, knowing that she's pregnant, and cause the termination of pregnancy without a live birth. That's the crime. What's being changed here is the language is after is guilty of. And instead of saying homicide of an unborn child or fetus, as we now say, you're saying a felony punishable by imprisonment, and then the penalty is the same. So I don't think, since it doesn't change the elements of the crime at all, but merely the description of the title, if you will, of the crime, I think it is it doesn't change the analysis as to whether it complies with the Goodman decision. And I think the bill does, with or without the amendment. So, Mr. President, I don't think that's the reason to vote for or against this amendment. I think it comes down to which language do you prefer. I think it, Mr. President, does the same thing, seeks to do the same thing, frankly, in a more artful way than the amendment that we just adopted that I brought. I intend to vote for it because I think it does the same thing, and I think, frankly, the good senator has done a better job of drafting than I did.
Senator Nicholas. Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, and joining in with our colleague from Natrona County, I respectfully disagree with my friend from this county. When you look to determine whether the Goodman issue applies, you look at your elements. You just have to stack up your elements of one crime versus the other. And ladies and gentlemen, in the end, when a person goes out to seek out a mother who's pregnant, it's one crime. It's not two crimes. And what we hear about it is that if there is indeed, as the proponents of the bill have repeatedly said, that there is a problem, that boyfriends who really don't want to pay the consequences of having a child or target somebody to kill them for that reason, that that's a crime that deserves a heightened punishment, then let's give it the heightened punishment it deserves. What the amendment says is if you do that, you're going to spend a minimum of 20 years in prison. And we're just not going to tolerate it. The original version, all it did is said there's now two separate sentences, and the judge can run them concurrently, which is typically what would happen. Or the judge might even rule under the Goodman case that they're essentially these same elements. And the jury has to choose one crime or the other. And now you have an entire trial sensationalized over the issue of unborn child or fetus, and not directed at the heinousness of the crime where the person went out and selected and directed a person simply because he didn't want to own up to the consequences of his bad act. And that's what we're punishing, is the heinous nature of a person unwilling to acknowledge his bad act and thinking that this is a solution. And that deserves a minimum sentence. and I applaud the amendment and urge your support.
Mr. President, I urge you to defeat the amendment. I agree with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Had a chance this morning to visit with the district attorney from this local jurisdiction, but that was before I had seen this amendment or knew that this was coming. And to me, the difference is this amendment says there is a single offense. And in my opinion, this is a double offense. There were two victims intended, and there were two victims, and there could be justice for both. Mr. President, this bill was brought to you in a very nonpartisan way. We hear about the debate in both sides. This is brought to you with sponsors from both sides of the aisle and from both sides of the building. People who believe, as 89% of Americans do in a national poll, that when a pregnant woman is murdered, there are two victims. And that's why I ask for the defeat of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor of the amendment takes further discussion? The question is, on second reading amendment number 2, Senate file 118, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
That amendment does pass. Division being called for. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 118, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 118 has failed to pass. We are back on the bill. Senate file 118, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 141, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 141, sponsored by Senator Byrne, Department of Audit Amendments.
Senate file 141, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 146, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 146, sponsored by Senator Mockler, Special Districts Requirements for Bids.
We do have an amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 146, the Mockler Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate file number 146, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 146 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. I hope this one isn't very controversial. I really did listen to the concerns yesterday that there were times when you would want to have sole source contracts, especially in fire districts where they're repeating the same purchases throughout time. I also think that there needed to be some room for emergencies where a board looks at something and says, we've got to get in there immediately. And they can make small purchases. I think that that's legitimate as well. As long as it's under $1,500, they can do it the way the cities do, which is just get phone calls. Under $7,500, they have to get a written bid. But it allows the discretion of that board to make the smaller supply purchases, to make emergency purchases, and to have sole source contracting.
Discussion on the amendment? The question is, on second reading amendment number 1, the Senate file 146, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number 1, the Senate file 146 has passed. Senate file 146, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 167, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 167, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Consumer Advocate Sunset Extension.
Senate file 167, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, consent list. Senate File 34, Board of Child Social Emotional Services. Senate File 66, Unemployment Compensation Adjustment Accuracy. Senate File 87, Government Training Council for Developmental Disabilities. Senate File 144, Reduced Ready Program Design Commission Structure. Senate File 159, Regulation Contingency, Status Quo.
Senate File 34, Early Child Social Emotional Services. Senate File 66, Unemployment Compensation Adjustment Factor. Senate File 87, Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities. Senate File 144, Business Ready Program Education Infrastructure. Senate File 159, Emergency Detention County Cost. And Senate File 176, Drug Courts Parolees, are all on the consent list. Is there any bill that a senator would like withdrawn from the consent list? Senator Ross. Senate File 144, Business Ready Program Education Infrastructure, is withdrawn from the consent list. Are there any other bills that any senator would like withdrawn? Having been read three separate times, I'll go through the consent list again just so we're all sure what we're voting on. Senate File 34, Early Child Social Emotional Services. Senate File 66, Unemployment Compensation Adjustment Factor. Senate File 87, Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities. Senate File 159, Emergency Detention County Cost. And Senate File 176, Drug Courts Parolees, are on the consent list. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 34, Early Child Social Emotional Services. Senate File 66, Unemployment Compensation Adjustment Factor. Senate File 87, Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities. Senate File 159, Emergency Detention County Cost. And Senate File 176, Drug Court Parolees. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso? Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geist?
Aye.
Pastors?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moeffler? Nicholas?
Aye.
Heck excused. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Slatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 34, are there any changes? Massey, aye to conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 34, 28 aye, 1 excused, 1 conflict. Senate File 66. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 66, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 87. Are there any changes? Massey, aye to no. Perkin, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 87, 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. Senate File 159. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 159. 29 ayes, 1 excused. And Senate File 176. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 176. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 34, Early Child Social Emotional Services, Senate File 66, Unemployment Compensation Adjustment Factor, Senate File 87, Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities, Senate File 159, Emergency Detention County Costs, and Senate File 176, Drug Court Parolees, have all passed the Senate. Senate File 89, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 89, Long-Term Care Choices, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to long-term care in the Wyoming Medical Assistance and Services Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, third reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 89, the Vasey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 89, third reading amendment number 1, to substitute bill number 1, page 16, line 19.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1, Senate File 89. This amendment addresses some of the concerns that were talked about in previous readings. Lines 3 through 5 address the senator from Albany County's concerns that these won't be homes or will be definitely pilot projects, so we understand that. And then down in lines 11 through 14, what this does is we expand it now to 5 pilot projects, and 3 of those will be in counties with population less than 30,000. And Mr. President, I do believe that a small community, and I use the one that's in my Senate district, Little Snake River, are quite frankly on to something. They passed the mill levy, taxing themselves to put a health care district, and in that, they're also with some provisions for some senior care. Now, this would allow those residents to keep their family closer to home, and it might be a great place for a pilot project like that to see if it works. So, that, and then the rest just strikes through those. It changes, I think, the singular to the plural. So that's the amendment, and I urge your adoption.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise on and support the amendment.
had a little bit of personal experience with this. A very close family friend, very close to both the children and the parents. Ultimately, the mother ended up with a long-term illness that robbed her of her memory and some other mental facilities. As they were faced with what put this woman in McCombs County, they were absolutely crushed with the choices that they were with. It just happened through a fortuitous circumstance. They became aware of an opportunity for one of these types of homes where she went down and was able to go into Colorado into one of these types of homes where there were five other residents there. And she spent, until she was able to be moved into hospice for her very final days, about the last 3 years of her life in incredibly unpleasant circumstances, all things considered. And when you compare it with the alternative of where these individuals go often and unfortunately go and are simply simply warehoused until their time on earth expires, this is a very solid and very viable alternative that can be a tremendous godsend to families who suffer through those through these misfortunes. And so I would encourage your support of this amendment to allow us to pull together the opportunity to see whether this works in large counties and small counties. I think this is an incredibly appropriate and viable alternative for those long-term situations, and I would certainly encourage your support of this amendment.
Further discussion? The question is, on third reading, amendment number one, to Senate file 89, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading, amendment number one, to Senate file 89 does pass. Senate file 89, having been read three separate times, the question is, Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I very reluctantly am going to oppose this bill. I have utmost respect for the chairman of the Labor Committee and the things he's been able to do to address these kind of needs. But I also have even more respect for our processes. This bill was brought to you with no interim study, very little testimony, and there were some things given out relative to cost that I don't think were accurate. We're going to have waivers. And Mr. Chairman, I believe this is the exact kind of thing that we could be doing in an interim study. You have a bill here, Mr. Chairman, that was so heavily amended that it had to be a substitute bill. It was, you know. And further, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a very expensive piece of legislation if it were to go forward. It started out, my understanding is, with an appropriation of $12 million. It was then cut to $6 million, and it's then been cut to $3 million. Make no mistake, if it goes further successful, it will be back to $12 million, and probably will then, on a biennium basis, be back to $24 million. I am not against the program, but these are the kind of things where I see unintended consequences coming up all the time. All the time. And I can see many here. I'm not going to belabor it and go into all. I can see many here. Let me make it, most of them could be short term. I don't know. Let me make it very clear. If this program is successful, there will be no one who will stand to benefit more than I will. My mother is in a nursing home. She does have a single bed. But unfortunately, Medicaid will not pay for that single bed. She stayed and had a single bed all the way through until all her resources were totally exhausted. And so now we're making up, I and my brothers, we're making up the difference. But the difference is this handout I passed out will indicate was not 10, 12, or 15%. For Medicaid, it's 29% difference. Some may feel that Medicaid is going to give you a waiver to do some of that. I do not. And quite frankly, the only reason I heard, that we need to do this now, rather than having it as an interim study where all the aspects of it can be investigated, was that we may have different bureaucrats in place. We may have different bureaucrats in place, or we may not. I would suggest to you that we probably won't. We will have different administrations, but the bureaucrats that we're going to be dealing with are lifetime bureaucrats, and they're going to outlive all of us, I would suspect. And so the same people that are going to be moving on it are probably still going to be there if we send it to an interim study, which I believe is the proper place for it. You heard testimony from the good senator from Laramie County at the very beginning of the process. The origination of the bill and how it did not go through the processes that we normally go through with this kind of a program. And so I'm not going to belabor whether the bill is good or bad, or I fear the unintended consequences having it not gone through an interim study or from the Health Care Commission. And I would submit to you that because we might have to deal with different bureaucrats, if we were to delay it 1 year and give it a full hearing and pick up some of the unintended consequences, is not a reason to pass it at this time. And so I'm going to vote against it, though I and my loved one would probably benefit immensely if it were to all work and all be there. It's going to be very expensive. And I think we need to know what the true costs are, what the true unintended consequences are, and put it into the process this legislature used on this kind of thing for a long time, and that's an interim committee study. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the bill. Mr. President, yes, there are some unknowns. A particular area where the costs are uncertain is in the nursing home. The bill proposes to ask the federal government for permission to go to a single room standard in the nursing home. Mr. President, that provision is designed to save us money. And we aren't bringing this bill with an estimate of what the specific savings will be because we know there's uncertainty. If the savings that were cited in that, the cost that was cited in that particular case are accurate, 29% over the private room standard, there will still be savings, but they won't be as large. Mr. President, if we don't show savings, if we can't prove savings when we really work through the cost, the Fed will not give us the necessary waiver. And with the amendment that came on yesterday, if they don't give us the necessary waiver, and that amendment conforms to the intent of the bill, we won't proceed with that particular part. Mr. President, where the real increase in cost potential here is in the tried and true home and community-based waiver program, where we're expanding the number of spots to try to get rid of the waiting list, and we're having to increase the reimbursement so that those services will, in fact, be available so people can stay in their home instead of going to the more expensive nursing home. And we're having a problem with the level of reimbursement necessary in the marketplace for us to get the people to do the work. And I suspect we will be back probably for several years through the normal budget process asking for more with that particular set of services. I do think that the cost will gradually go up, but that's a program we've had for years, and the problem has been lack of people because of the cost. This will give us a number of alternatives that will help us keep our senior citizens who reached the point in their lives, and Mr. President, we may all of us get there, but senior citizens who reach the point in their lives where they do need some long-term care, this will enable us to keep many more of them in much more humane, much less restrictive, much more home-like settings. And we amply debated one of those, but there's only one of the possibilities. Now, it is true that this didn't go through as much of the interim committee process as it would have if the committee had developed the bill on its own. We have, in the healthcare area, the healthcare commission, the big ticket items in here, Mr. President, other than the pilot program, the big ticket items are healthcare commission recommendations. We have substituted that process in part for the interim committee process. You can say that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's what we did. And the health bills we see are likely to come to you that way, as long as we have the health care commission. I think it doesn't detract from quality. I think the health care commission did some very good work in these areas, and I would urge adoption of the bill.
Further discussion? Senator Brasco.
Mr. President, I also rise in support of the bill. The national news story about a week ago, programs offer seniors option to age at home. More assistance projects show growing older doesn't have to mean going away. And the reason it caught my eye, not only because we were discussing this topic, but also because Wyoming actually made it to one of the graphs. We very seldom even get listed as a state in this national paper. And we got listed there, and we got listed under the section that says largest projected growth of population age 65 and older over the next 25 years. And it has Wyoming listed as 140% increase in population over the age of 65 in the next 25 years. If we delay this, Mr. President, we are going to be further behind than we are right now. So I encourage adoption of the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I will speak in opposition to the bill for a little similar, a different type reason. Over the years, I have been concerned about when we come with a bill to either body and then we have to amend it enough to have a substitute bill, then when we get on the floor, we have 4 or 5 pages of amendments. And not going into the bill itself, but I'm concerned that when you have to do this in such a short period of time, we probably should look at it a little bit longer and correct some of the things that was originally not to the likings or didn't work out after we got to studying it. And so, I think a year delay on an interim study would certainly improve it, get us better information on the long-term cost, and I can't see where 1 year will hurt the effect of the issue in the overall. So I urge caution as we vote on this bill.
Further discussion? Senator 89 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Poe? Cooper? Vicaria? Becht? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Joe? Johnson? Aye. Larson? Massey? Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler? Aye. Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Slatern? President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Anderson, no to aye. Closing. Jennings, no to aye. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused, and 1 conflict.
Senate File 89, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 89 does pass the Senate. Senate File 144, third reading of the Senate File.
100, Senate File 144, sponsored by Senator Hine, Business Ready Program Education Infrastructure, an act relating to economic development, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I requested that this bill be removed from the consent list because I believe that the good chairman of Appropriations Committee made a very, very compelling argument on committee as a whole about this bill. I do not believe that this is the appropriate place to build in with our business-ready communities the use of that money for infrastructure for education. I do believe it does need to be with the school capital facilities commission. It needs to be handled. You need one gatekeeper. And to do this sidetracks what we're really trying to do with regards to business ready community. And we're going to use that money for now what I believe that business ready communities part of the program was not intended to do. And it was intended to use that money elsewhere. So I believe that by doing this, it's well intended. We do have to do it. It is the state's responsibility. The question is, where do you place that? I just think that placing it with business-ready communities is the wrong place. And so I urge to defeat the bill.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I think the bill has at least three problems, but I'm going to support the bill and urge your support for different reasons. And you're gonna see the hey, you know, you're my friend, dude. I love you. Hey, you only do this to the people that you love the most. This president, the over the last couple of days, I've been working on an amendment to the budget to address this issue, and the issue is real. And as I've circulated the amendment to folks in the School Facilities Commission, what I realized is it's a more complicated issue, and I don't know where we're going to end up. We need to have a solution. And speaking of sponsoring the bill, the notion is let's keep the bill alive, put it into to the House, and we can figure out which is the vehicle. But let me just describe the dilemma because you're going to hear more about it. The issue is, what do you do about these expenses for off-site improvements for schools, and who should direct the expenditure? And you have a variety of different kinds of problems, and the problems have different solutions. But if, for example, the school facilities decisions commission makes a determination to close a school within the town of Casper, for example, and they say it's less expensive for us to move the facility out to a site outside of town, well, certainly they ought to evaluate the total cost, and that means the infrastructure cost. And to make a decision to shut down an interior school and move it out, one of the alternatives they should look at is buying more property, buying houses around the school if it's an issue with respect to size. And if they're not required to look at the total cost of moving the school out to the community, you're not going to have good decisions. On the other hand, you have other communities that are using the facilities by encouraging the location of facilities outside of the city
to require the school facilities commission to come in and essentially extend services for economic development. If the purpose of the city trying to encourage and move the facilities outside of town is to essentially earmark funds out of school program for economic development so they don't have to cover the cost of infrastructure, then that belongs to business-led communities. And one of the things that I, you know, would like you to think about as you're going through is that you're going to see a number of bills that are either in the process or amendments, the effort of which is to earmark dollars, whether they be business-ready community dollars, whether they be housing dollars, whether they be dollars for any type of impact assistance, those are in a sense a request to earmark dollars to specific communities. And at the end of the day, we could walk out of here with business-ready community dollars that are fully earmarked for four or five communities. If you're a member of one of those communities, it's great, but that means none of the other communities get a chance to grow their infrastructure, to grow for economic development, to build their business parks. And by putting it in business-ready communities, you're in effect earmarking the BRC money that we have, now $18 million, a substantial portion of those, to those communities that have that are encountering the growth with respect to specific housing developments. And we've already provided those communities impact assistance. We provided them other routes. And other communities are wanting to grow. They're wanting to develop the infrastructure to bring in communities or new businesses, but they don't get a share of it. They don't get, if you will, feed at the chow line. And I don't think that earmarking BRC money to a few communities is the right approach. On the other hand, we have a problem that's more complex than I originally thought. I've got amendments for the budget, but if the sponsor's urging, I agree, let's keep the bill alive, put it on the house. We'll see if we can find a better solution. In any respect, we do have to find a solution.
Well, Mr. President, I think we can keep the bill alive also. And the School Facilities Commission has had a struggle. And there was a case, I believe, up in Casper where there's a school that's going to be built and who's going to provide the infrastructure out there. I think the good senator from Laramie County, I'm just glad he didn't try to propose a task force to study this issue. But anyway, it is a serious problem. Who does pay? Well, when you build a new school in the community, it is development. It is infrastructure. Does the School Facilities Commission pay? Do the cities pay? Cities will tell you that they don't have the money to pay for this stuff, but yet we're going to build a new school. In my community, we're proposing to build a new elementary school in the Far East End out by the airport. Narrow street out there. Two new subdivisions just past there with probably 75 homes in there. Got to go on this narrow street, go right past the new proposed school, and there's two subdivisions right past there. First thing they said, the city said, you're going to build a school there? We need help. We can't fix that street up. So it is a serious problem that exists out there if we build new schools around the state. And we do have a mandate from the Supreme Court, believe me, to build a new school. And the $600 million a couple of years ago is now closer to $2 billion. We're talking serious money out there. So I urge you to move the bill forward. It is a discussion that we have to have. Business-ready communities might not be the right place. Where is the right place? Let's talk about it. But I think this bill is a good vehicle to continue that dialogue.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I won't be repetitious in regard to all that's been said and the discussion, but I do urge you to move this bill forward. You know, they're really the only instrument that we have in this legislature to solve a problem in regard to debate and all the input is that vehicle of a bill. And when a bill doesn't exist, the debate doesn't exist, the problem-solving process doesn't exist, this is, in fact, in search of a solution. And the only way we're going to arrive at that solution, and certainly we haven't arrived at everyone's satisfaction today, is to keep this bill alive, keep it moving, examine the amendments that are going to be proposed later, offer all the input that we can get from the other side, and use the vehicle of the bill in order to do that. So, again, I would urge you to keep this bill moving. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President.
while we need to keep the bill moving to keep the argument alive and the discussion alive, it's also important to recognize that there, that the points that both the senator from Albany County made during the committee of the whole before today, and also that some of the points that the senator from Laramie County made this morning, are actually great, have some very sound basis. The story in that happened in Natrona County was indeed there was a school that was going to be built on one side, one of the edges of town, and when they got into there was a puzzle about who was going to provide the infrastructure and the roads to the school, then that came off the table. But the other side of the story, and the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say, is that another developer stepped up and said, saw this great opportunity, said, oh, you know what, I'll build the infrastructure, we'll fold it in there, and then if you'll come and build the school over here, and indeed that's exactly what happened. The infrastructure was laid in by the developer. The school obviously attracts, and people want to live near schools. And so the infrastructure was attracted there. And so there was a combination of both the school facilities and the economic development that happens. And so those points are very much alive. The school facilities commission and the school facilities account should not be bearing the burden of economic development in our communities. On the other hand, the school facilities commission and the school facilities account should bear some portion and have some responsibility to make sure in the right circumstances that the infrastructure that's required is built. And so I'd urge us to move the bill forward, but I agree and keep that in mind as we look at that. It is a many-headed monster, and somehow we've got to get our hands around it.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, the interesting thing about putting the business-ready communities into the mix of things, I think, poses a problem, and I've been a member of the School Facilities Commission, and in my own community, we have had this commission or this discussion quite a bit. But what we do is, to me, is if we want, we know we have to provide some money to help because our cities and counties can't bear the entire brunt of it. And the School Facilities Commission, interestingly enough, if not made the policy decision that they weren't going to fund it. But if we insert a third, the business-ready communities, into this mix of things, where is the ability to negotiate? Where is the ability to come to a consensus of sharing the burden? Because you'll go to that business-ready community, you can't. Your developers are going to be saying to you, backing off from doing their share that you might get to them, because we have this pot of money in business-ready communities with no way to say to any of the people involved that we're going to negotiate this, and it might be a thing between a developer and the city, towns, and counties, and the commission. But if we insert a third person into this, the question I'd like to ask, will that... I see it as a player that all of a sudden will become the person or the entity to fund this. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. And so, Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the answer is, other than I'm very uncomfortable with this bill, because I see the ability to try to ask the other two to come to the table and make some agreements. I see that ability impaired, because now we see our community and our developers, here's a way to get our infrastructure built. This is where we'll go. So I hope you would think of that as you vote for this.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, just very briefly, we had a problem, and I came forward with this bill. I'm not stuck on the idea completely. I think it should be moved forward. If we come up with a better idea as we move along, I have no problem in setting it, asking it to be set aside. The discussion on the business-ready community was added there. I went that route because that's the current law. It's set up for economic, for educational infrastructure. And I have no problems with changing, but I think at this point we need to move this forward as an option, and so we can look at other ones. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senate File 144, having been read three separate times, the question is, Shall the bill pass? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman? Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geist?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler? Nicholas?
Aye.
Tech excuse. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flaker?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Cave? Aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes. No. 7 noes. 1 excuse.
Senate File 144. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 144 has passed the Senate. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business of consideration of bills on the general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself before the committee of the whole.
The question is, shall the Senate resolve itself at the committee of the whole? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion is carried. Senator Burns.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 154. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File number 154, sponsored by Senator Scott, Small Employer Carrier Reinsurance Amendment, an act relating to small employer carrier reinsurance. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivisions, and reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the Senate file. What's your pleasure, Senator Case? Do I have to do everything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 154. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File number 154, standing committee amendment number 1, page 3, line 6.
You've heard the reading of the amendment, Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I would respectfully move this standing committee amendment to Senate File 154. And I would yield to the tall senator from Natrona County for an explanation of the bill and the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, first on the, let me explain the bill a bit, and then the standing committee amendment makes is better understood. Mr. Chairman, what's happened is last year we passed legislation passed all the way through here and was signed by the governor that revives the uninsurable pool that is within the reinsurance pool that is within the small group insurance. And what we did last year is an effort to try to interrupt the death spiral that is occurring there as the prices rise and people start dropping their insurance because they think that they can't afford it and that they aren't as much of a risk, so you get poorer risks, so the prices go up some more, and we're getting in trouble in our small group insurance. and this was an attempt to intercept that. What happened is, as the insurance department and the people who manage, or the small group reinsurance program that managed the uninsurable pool, started examining our legislation, they said, wait a minute, there's a more efficient way to do what you're trying to do, and that is to get rid of the requirement that the reinsurance be what's called prospective reinsurance, where the insurance carriers have to do a lot of medical underwriting, and then they do what's called feeding the individuals or the groups with the high risk to the risk pool. Said if you do a retrospective insurance, and there are many forms of it, what we can do is essentially reinsure all of them, but only pay off on a portion, and only do it for a portion, of the very high claims, and that's more efficient, Mr. Chairman, because you don't need the medical underwriting, and it enables the more of the funds from the assessment, there's an assessment against insurance companies that come into this to fund it, enables those to go further and reduce the cost of the small employers even more. So what this bill does is to enable them to do that with some conforming language. Frankly, we picked up a couple of changes, conforming language that we should have picked up last year, and we give them that flexibility. What the standing committee amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is the standing committee said, well, why limit it to just the alternative reinsurance mechanisms to just retrospective insurance, make sure that it's open to other ones. And I think that's wise, because there's a variety of these things that go under the general head of retrospective insurance. And this would make it quite clear they could pick any of them. And it gives them a bit more flexibility, so I would urge adoption of the standing committee amendment.
Any other discussion? You've heard the reading of the standing committee amendment. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The standing committee amendment has passed. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, basically, I have explained the bill. It is, some of these insurance things get a bit arcane, and I can explain it in any additional detail that any of the members might want. All I would add is that I really do think that this will make it more efficient and will mean that there is a better reduction in the rate of increase of cost we're seeing in the small group insurance. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 154, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 154 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next, Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and beg leave to sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Let's have messages from the House first. Those are always exciting.
February the 1st, 2007, from the House of Representatives. Third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 76, Livestock Brand Inspectors, Ayes 59, Absent 1. House Bill 227, Unfair Employment Practices, ayes 59, absent 1. House Bill number 263, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission Rules, ayes 59, absent 1. February the 1st, 2007, from the House of Representatives, Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading in an amended form. House Bill number 121, Child Support Enforcement Fees, ayes 56, noes 6, absent 1. House Bill number 122, Psychological Licensure, ayes 59, absent 1. House Bill 133, Department of Health Client Information Sharing, ayes 58, noes 1, absent 1. House Bill 159, State-Owned Building Energy Efficiency Program, Substitute Number 1, ayes 54, noes 5, absent 1. House Bill Number 256, Illegal Drug Law Enforcement Initiative, ayes 57, noes 2, absent 1. House Bill Number 304, Investment of State Funds, ayes 59, absent 1. House Bill Number 49, Abuse of Animals, ayes 35, noes 25. House Bill Number 251, DUI Test, ayes 48, noes 12. And House Bill Number 258, DUI Testing, ayes 34, noes 26. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from the Standing Committee.
January the 31st, 2007, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 178, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Amended. Ayes, Ullman, Barrasso, Beck, Hastert, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Party Leader, that clears my desk.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remind everybody that your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will be meeting upon adjournment today, final adjournment, to continue our bills from this morning. We still have left Senate File 152, Illegal Drug Laboratories, Remediation of Building, Senate File 169, Workers' Compensation Amendment, Senate File 175, Healthcare Providers at Correctional Facilities. Meeting will be in S-19, Mr. President.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, your committee, number 3, Revenue, will meet at 12:30 today, Thursday, February 1st, up in S-16, at which time we'll bring Senate File 138, Electrical Transmission Generation and Tax Review, back up for a final vote. House Bill 93, Engrossed Sales Tax on Food, Permanent Exemption Number 2. House Bill 178, Engrossed Sales and Use Tax, Telecommunication.
Senator Guy.
Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources. We will meet upon adjournment this afternoon, and we'll take up House Bill 26, Greater Ground Transportation Rights, and House Bill 236, Omnibus Water Bill Plan.
Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, is going to meet at 1 p.m. to consider Senate File 158, Industrial Site Amendment 2, Senate File 172, Self-Insurance, State Self-Insurance. And, Mr. President, I believe that we have now considered, what after today, all re-referred bills, and there are nothing left. If there's any of you that a bill that did not consider, you better speak with us, but I think as of today we've kicked out all Senate files that are been re-referred.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, February 2nd, 15 minutes after the noon recess in S-18,
to consider House Bill 139, Engrossed Storage Tank Remediation Program, House Bill 12, Electric Utility Resources, and House Bill 47, Engrossed Prevailing Wage Amendments.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee, number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following bills. House Joint Resolution 4, Initiative and Referendum Requirements, House Bill 20, Senior Status Judge Compensation, and House Bill 72, Engrossed Required Payments as Conditions of Parole.
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, just a reminder that on adjournment today, there will be a meeting in the Hertzler Building, Room 1699, to answer questions and have a discussion on the supercomputing data center. So just that should be informative, and maybe you can get questions answered. That will be on adjournment today.
Further announcements? The question is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate is in recess. So.